Good morning, everybody. Like India said, my name is Gino Allison. I want to welcome you all here today to the South Suburban Vineyard Church. Special welcome to anybody who is visiting with us for the first time, and by the looks of it, looks like we have a few first-time folks. By the way, guys, if somebody's not working on a few extra chairs, there we go. Look at that already. So welcome to the South Suburban Vineyard Church. My name is Gino Allison. Listen, this is a special day for us. Anybody guess what today is? It's our anniversary, right? You probably knew that, right? But we turn 9 years old today. Today, right? Actually, our anniversary is actually the 1st of November, but, you know, we had to make it fit on the schedule. But this is a really big deal for us. This is a huge deal for us to be a church plant, to leave our homes and our jobs and everything that's familiar to us, that original team that left, and move someplace unfamiliar and still be around 9 years is a really big deal. And I'm glad that you all are here to celebrate with us, because this is a fantastic occasion. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a story as I get into this morning. Back in late March, I got a phone call from my dear friend Steve Nicholson. Some of you know Steve Nicholson if you're familiar with the Vineyard. Steve is Vineyard royalty. He pastors the Evanston Vineyard, which is one of the flagship vineyards. It's been around for decades and decades, and Steve is widely known as a church planter, a discipler, and he's kind of like the Vineyard's fix-it guy. Like, if guys on the mission field or guys in other countries are having conflict among the pastors, our national director calls Steve, puts him on a plane, and after a few meals and some conversation, the situation is fixed, right? So in many circles, he's known as a fixer. But Steve called me out of the blue late March of this year and said, "Hey, Gino, I wanted to talk to you about a situation. Basically, I'm retiring in a couple of years, and basically, we want you to come and take over the Evanston Vineyard for me." He said, "Hello, you there?" "Yeah, I'm here, Steve." He says, "Well, basically, what would happen is you and your family, you would move to Evanston in the summer of 2019, and basically over a couple of years, we would begin this transition process, and by year three, you'd be the senior pastor, and, you know, the years following that, I would just sort of retire." I said, "Steve, you know that we are just a week away from launching our building campaign where we're asking our church to raise over $1 million. He said, "Yeah, I know, so pray about it and get back to me." Oh, my goodness. So I called my wife. I said, "Baby, you would never guess who just called me." She said, "Who?" I said, "Steve, so what do you want?" "He wants us to take over the Evanston Vineyard." She said, "What?" I said, "I know." She said, "That is crazy." I said, "I know. We'll talk about it more when we get home." And so I was having a great day up until that. Right? Moving toward building campaign. I think our books had already come in. And this thing just falls on me. There was nothing about this that was exciting. I was actually annoyed by his phone call. Actually, I was with Steve the previous night. He could have told me that in person, but he dropped it on me on the phone, did his little laugh that he does, and then hung up the phone. You ever feel like God is just sort of playing with you? Just like you're in a video, like God's playing a video game with you in it, and he's just sort of bonking you on the head, making you feel uncomfortable. Now, we know God is not that way, but sometimes it just feels that way. And so I spent an agonizing week because I felt like I was supposed to take this opportunity seriously. I called all the men and women that speak into my life, that mentor me, and I told them what was going on, and they all said the same thing. "Man, that's really tough." And I said, "That's not really what I want to hear. I want to hear that you had a dream in the night and God spoke to you clearly for me, or maybe you're eating alphabet soup and just magically the words go or no form as you are eating your alphabet soup." None. But to a person, they said, "Man, that's really tough. Let me know what you decide." So here we are a week out from, Pledge Sunday. Our giving campaign starts. And so I called together our church council. One, because I feel like I need their counsel, but two, I feel like if I'm even entertaining something like this that I need to bring them in, I also feel like, hey, if we're going to ask people for $1 million over the next couple of years, that they need to know that there's a possibility that I may not be in the picture for that. And so that was a really heavy meeting. It was a really emotional meeting for all of us. But at the end of all of our discussion, we said, you know, I believe that God is good enough and powerful enough to give us an answer tonight. Like, and so we spent some time praying, and basically I said, Lord, would you just not have this thing hanging over us so that it just blows up our campaign and introduces all this uncertainty? Would you give us an answer tonight? And so as I left the house that we were meeting, before I can get into my car, I felt the Lord say to me very clearly, you've got more work to do here at SSV. And so, yeah. And so when I think about what God has done for us and done through us in these last couple of years, and to hear the Lord say to me, yes, there is more for you here. There is more for this church. I'm using you in fantastic ways, and I'm going to bless you enough to be a part of what I want to still do here in the South Suburbs. Man, that just gave me energy and strength to run another mile. And as you know, many of you know, if you're not brand new today, that we embarked upon a journey to purchase this building. We raised a couple hundred thousand in just a few short months, and we bought this place just a few short months ago. And God has been good to us, but our story starts all the way back in 2009 when my wife, myself, and 11 other people quit their jobs, sold their homes, and moved here to start this church. Do we have that picture? This is the picture. We didn't think to take any other pictures. This is the only group picture that we have of our church plant team, and they had threw me a SpongeBob-themed birthday party on one of the months after we had planted here, and this is the only picture. I just realized after all these years that Shannon is actually not in the picture. She is taking the picture, but this is our legacy. Like, this is who's leading you guys. A group full of SpongeBob enthusiasts, right? And you can just cycle through those pictures. We just got here in 09, and we just start serving. And that's my wife, and Joe, I think, is just about two. You can keep going. And on November 09, we started our first service. And this is a picture of what that dusty old meeting room looked like in the basement of the Fellowship Hall and St. Paul Community Church. I often joke and say this actually is a good picture because this looks like how the audience looked on our second week. You know, we had 86 people come out the first week. We thought, this is mega. Like, we need to, like, knock a wall out or something like that. Well, I thought, everybody else was like, hey, these are our friends and family. They're not going to be here next week. I said, get behind me, Satan. Put some more chairs out. Print some more bulletins. And this, again, I think the only person in the seats that Sunday morning when worship started was my wife, Shannon. And so that... So that's us back in the day. You can go to the next one. That's the Alicia on our first night worshiping. So listen, man, it's been an interesting ride. And when I think about what's changed from then and now, I think a lot has changed. Obviously, we've grown. Like, we're a little larger than just 13 people, right? I don't wonder and fret if people are actually going to show up as we did in those early days. Lots have changed. We're building owners now. We have a reputation in this community, in this great city. We are committed to setting down some roots. A lot has changed, but a lot hasn't changed. Our mission is the same. It's been refined and it's been drawn into sharper focus, but we are largely who we said we were coming here to be. And when people ask us, hey, how is you managed to have your whole church plant team still with you after 9 years, my only guess is that, hey, we're still doing what we said we would do. We still are who we were in that time, actually a little bit better. This is the, you know, I guess improved version of us, but we are still a people on mission, a people on message. We are still a people who believe that God can bring different types of people together to worship and to gain not just a Christian education here, but a social education, the likes of which you can't find anyplace else. In this political climate that is contentious, that is harsh, in the era and age of Trump, black folks, white folks, Asian folks, Latino folks, and everything else in between can gather and worship and do the messy work of discovering God and discovering one another. That's still possible And we've gone after that and continue to go after that. And so I'm proud. I am pleased. I feel blessed that I get to be a part of this. People often ask me every year, say, Pastor, what are we going to do this year? As if somehow we have to reinvent the wheel each year and have to go to the mountain and bring back some new tablets with new instructions as to what we will do and what the way forward will be. Listen, the way in is the way on. Now we'll get better at it. We have our own building wrapped around us now. We have a few years of experience, like we got some bumps and bruises, but the way in is the way through, right? And I feel like we're supposed to be on message. But briefly, I want to talk to you about three things that I feel like to draw this into sharper focus, to help us understand the way forward, to cast just a little bit of vision. The Lord gave me three things that we need to remember as we press into a new year. The first thing is that we are a good news people. We are a good news people. Now, probably look good on a bumper sticker, but it's true. In the age of bad news and loads of it, in the age and era of fake news and loads of it, we are called and forever called to be good news people. I always say, we preach good news at this church. And that doesn't mean you're not going to get hit every once in a while. That doesn't mean that a word's not going to come down your row and shake you a little bit. It just means that the bottom of all of this is good news, and that Jesus wants to radically transform your life. That the work of the cross and the power of the cross is good news for you, and it's good news for me, and that we are on mission to what? Continue the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus stands up in Luke chapter 4, reads from the scroll of Isaiah, which is a message about himself. And Jesus says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring what? Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. I don't know about you, but that's good news. And part of that is that we get to continue that message, and we get to be bearers, and not just bearers, but recipients of that good news. No matter how this shakes out over the next few years, we must remain in our preaching and our teaching and our communicating the gospel. We must remain good news people. Second thing, as we consider what our way forward is that we must continue to be transformed. We are being transformed. This is a reality that we must accept. This is fruit that we must inspect at every turn. Now, notice I didn't say we have been transformed. Because if you're anything like me, the work is far from over. And I know lots of you, the work is far from over, right? And that's the beauty of this good news. The good news is not just a one-time hit, boom, hey, happy, happy, joy, joy, have a party and go on about your day. No, this good news has a what? An ongoing effect on us. And that ongoing effect is that for the rest of our breathing life, this good news is transforming us to make us look more and more like Jesus. We are being transformed. And the second you start to think that you have been transformed already and the work is done and you're good, you go back to the drawing board, okay? You're in trouble. But the good news is transforming us, and we are becoming, right before each other's eyes, brand new people each and every day, each and every week, each and every year. So as good news people who are being transformed, the third and final thing that is really one of the true ways forward for us is that we must continue to tell our stories. If the good news is really good, and if we are really being transformed like we're supposed to be, how can you keep a thing like that to yourself? How can you not share it? In fact, I'm not convinced that the good news is any good unless somebody's talking about it. Listen, you find a pizza joint that's even decent, like you've tagged yourself, you've took a picture of your food, you've put it all over the gram, but God has radically transformed your life, and you haven't told a soul. And I feel like one of the ways forward for this church is that we must continue to tell our stories about how this good, great news has radically transformed us, is transforming us, and we believe that God can do the same for somebody else. And so, in the spirit of that, we continue to tell our stories, which brings me to my favorite part of these anniversary services, where I sit down and shut up so you can hear from some people who have responded to this good news, who is experiencing that transformation, and who is okay with not shutting up about it. And so you're going to hear from some people today who have come to this church, and God has used this church to be a blessing to them and their families. God has used this church to do a transforming work in their life. And so we got some testimonies. We're going to hear from some of our kids even today. But I just want you to sit back and enjoy a few of these testimonies as we press into what God has done to us and through us. And so the first person I want to call up is my dear sister, Ananda Bacon. So give her a warm Vineyard welcome as she comes. There you go.
Sure, a lot of you. That's good, though. So, Sean, my husband, and I can't even remember when we came. I don't remember the year. I think it's 2, 3, not more than 5. So it's in there somewhere. I can't remember. But our first experience, I believe, was at 4th of July, handing out flyers. And it was, you know, hi, how you doing? Inviting to church. Oh, this is Shannon in Park District, and they had a connection, and it was like, oh, okay, well, that's nice. See you when we see you, maybe, you know? But it wasn't, our church experience had been, for me personally, one church for 30 years. I'd never been to another church, never was a member of another church. So I had one experience. So I don't know if that's common or uncommon, but grew up in that church, and that was it. Got married in that church, had kids there, and that was it. So when we decided that it was time to move on, it was difficult. It was not an easy decision. So when we did so, we're like, well, what do we do now? So we took kind of an easy route of, you know, a church that we were sort of familiar with where Shane went to preschool. And great church, very diverse, not for us. So we were out. It just wasn't for us. Nothing bad to say about it. So probably at least 6 months went by. We found SSV, but we found it independent of each other. So I think I'd seen a flyer besides, you know, the flyers handed out. And this was beforehand, before we actually decided to go, and I probably had forgotten all about it. And I found a flyer maybe at Walt's, and he, I don't know where, probably, you know, somehow it came together. I had listened to podcasts, he was listening to podcasts, but we didn't know that either of us were listening to the same podcast. So, and one day we just kind of got together and like, well, you know what? I was listening to this podcast today from South Suburban Vineyard. Like, did you listen to this? Have you listened to it? You're like, yeah, I have. And it was kind of a no-brainer. Just listening to several podcasts was like, what? You know, okay, we think we can, you know, this is someplace we gotta check out. So, let's see, let me go down. Further than I thought. So after we had been here a little while, it was, you know, it was very different. First of all, the size was small. You know, it was way smaller. So everybody was right here. You know, we couldn't go in and then leave without being seen if we didn't want to. So people were here. It's just like, right there. And so you were seen and had to talk. So we did. And what I noticed, and one of the things I told Sean was, these people are really regular. That's the only word that I could think of. Regular, not bad regular, not, you know, just that was the only, but good regular, like extraordinary, but regular people. Like, you know, people's sisters and brothers and just regular folk. And I was drawn to that, to the ease of talking to people. I met Shannon, okay? Shannon will take you out to coffee. If you meet her, she will take you out and she will plan a coffee date for you. And that's something for me because, like, she didn't have to do that. She doesn't have to take you out for coffee. She just, but to get to know you on purpose, doing it on purpose. Yvette, I met Yvette, and she invited me, she was moving, and invited me part of helping her move. And I was like, oh, this is a thing we do. So I was like, okay. Like, I didn't know how to feel about it. I didn't feel great, but I'm like, well, I can't say no. I don't want to look like I don't want to help people do stuff. So I came, and it was great. Getting to know her and getting to know other people through that was great. Lena, I met during Children's Church and just in church. And somebody so nice and kind, always asking me about me and remembering my name and remembering little things that I had told her. And it's just like, I remember talking about that with you, but she remembered the details of, you know, of whatever we had talked about the time before. Laid back people like Nunya was so laid back and calm and cool and like, I wanted to be her. I wanted to wear her. And just like, can I be you for a day? Please, you know, because that was Nunya, that when I met her. And, you know, several people. Mandy, so friendly. And, you know, just wanting to know more about me. You know, so several people that I could keep going and talk about. Miss Purple. Always ready for the purple hug, Miss Judy. Miss Judy. But anyway, I don't know how much time. I got a minute. Okay, thanks. So to this day, you know, I wasn't even sold after some of this. Okay, after I wasn't real, like, sold. Diversity wasn't a thing for me. I came from a very diverse church, so it wasn't a thing. But what did kind of clinch for me, and some people have this experience, some people don't. When you get a giving statement here, and inside that giving statement was a breakdown of the budget, and I thought I had gotten the wrong envelope. I did. I thought I'd gotten the wrong envelope because it was a breakdown like I had never seen before. I thought, like, I shouldn't be seeing. It's like, wait. Like, you need to take this. I don't think I was supposed to get this envelope because it was numbers. There were numbers beside things that were being, where the money was going. And I had never seen that before. So the transparency of that was a big deal for us. And I think that was probably where we were like, this is probably where we need to be. Because if it's not a big deal for you, that's good. But if it's something that is a big deal and you've seen it and you've seen the opposite of how things can go, then it's very appreciated. So anyway, that's about it. It's been a blessing to our family, our kids, made new friends, being able to, you know, express themselves and have fun and, you know, love on each other and love God and love regular people, okay, and live it out. So thank you.
You know, I don't think being ordinary and being called regular has ever warmed my heart so much. We really just want to be regular people, man. So, hey, I want to keep this going. Alec, where are you, sir? Come on up, my brother. Give my brother Alec a hand as he comes to share. Take your time, brother. Give him another hand as he comes. like he's ready to preach. Yeah, 4 minutes. Sir.
Not really. Yeah, three and a half minutes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Veterans Day to myself and other veterans that are out there. So I was supposed to answer like three questions. Who am I? How did you come here? And what do you think about the place? So my name is Alec, correctly spelled Lifshultz. My friends call me Al, so feel free, Alec or Al, I answer to either one. I was doing the math the other day. I have 19 years of licensed pastoral ministry, and my church life before coming here was excellent, aside from a brief period of break for spiritual health and personal health reasons for my family and myself. But we were attending a church, and it was really nice for me because I was able to do similar to what my sister said. I was back row, closest to the door, first to leave. In and out, transparent, like invisible. And that was cool for me because that was what I needed at the time. But over the past 3 years, going back just 3 years from now, I met this woman, and she was incredible because I was able to watch her in her element where things were coming at her that would drive most people to the point of snapping. You know, that's that modern-day vernacular for going off, checking someone, setting things straight, out of character. But never did this woman lose her character. She was always the most pleasant and engaging person I saw in the midst of adversity. And that person was Shannon, because she's the HF Park District Director for the youth basketball program. So imagine that. Because everybody's kid is the next LeBron or the next Michael, and parents are nuts and coaches are nuts, me included. But she was always so composed, and come to find out that she's not only a Christian, but her husband's a pastor. So I said to myself, I gotta go, right? So February 18th of this year, I showed up for the first time, and guess what? You weren't here. Pastor David Jacob, if I'm saying it correctly, did an awesome job. The message was compelling. I came back the next week because it was promised to me. My husband will be there next week. And, you know, it was really interesting because I studied the Bible for myself. And that particular week, I was studying in Genesis 3, and I got to that one verse where God asked Adam, "Where are you?" How many of you know God wasn't looking for Adam physically? He was saying, "Adam, you need to look at yourself, bro. Where are you?" I come to church, and pastor preaches from Daniel chapter 1, particularly Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where he says Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And he went on to ask a question of the audiences, "How are you living in your Babylon?" And I was lost in that row right over there where Sean is sitting. I was probably sitting in that exact seat where Sean's sitting. And I was like, man, you know, here I am, purposed, privileged, driven. Don't think I'm living right in my Babylon. And I've been somewhat faithfully attending since. One of the points that he made was that Daniel was fixed. That's what caused him to not deviate. As a military person, I'm into shooting guns and sighting in. So when I heard the word fixed, my military occupation caused me to think about how you fix your shot before it's time to shoot. You go to the range and you practice shooting so you get honed in on that spot that you're supposed to hit before time to shoot, so that when it's time to shoot, you don't have to worry about if your sights are right. You go to the range and you do things like that, and it just really feels like this is the range to me. This place, this church is the range where I can come get my sights fixed. I didn't mention this, but from the coincidence and the connection of meeting Shannon and coming here, also Miss Nikki and Mr. Jordan, Pastor and I probably chewed on some of the same dirt and stepped on some of the same nails growing up, because we're both from that same area of the inner city. This is another connection, you know. Someone might say coincidence, but one of the things that I like and that's going to keep me coming is the word common, translated in the New Testament as koinonia. There are so many things that I have in common with the folks from this church. I really appreciate the fact that I can't disappear. Because every now and then, just like God says, hey, where are you? I'll get a text message, where you at? It's not really where you at. It's say, hey, brother, how you doing? Just checking in. But in the Greek, that translates, where are you? Maybe not. Especially considering Genesis was in Hebrew. So, the coincidence of, literally, I didn't mention this, but it was a University of Illinois gear. My wife, my family, that's our school. So that was the beginning, and then through basketball, and then to meet you, and somebody mentioned coffee, but I'm going to tell you guys right now, you want to connect with Pastor, get some wings going. Find a place with good wings if you can't cook, you know. I think that the thing that's going to continue to keep myself and my family here is not just the multicultural and the multi-generational atmosphere, but it's the compelling conviction that I feel when I hear you break open the Word of God. As someone who's been a leader, someone who's been in your shoes, I understand what it is to do that week in and week out, and the passion that you bring and the life applicable way that you break it down means so much to me and my family. I just want to say thanks. Thanks for having me. That's it. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, Al. Let's get this thing going. Hey, we have a lot of little people in this church, right? And you may not know this, some of you do that, but those little people are led and nurtured by two of the most fantastic children's pastors that I've ever had the privilege of working with, and that is Miss Nikki and Jordan Arsenault. And so, yeah. And I don't want to embarrass Jordan, but this brother won 2 Emmys last night. Nominated for 5. And this is 2 additional Emmys to all the other Emmys he's won for his work as a photo journalist, photog, and an editor. And so he's got so many, I think he uses them as paperweights on his desk. But they are also children's pastors here. And Nick, would you give Nikki a hand as she comes up? I think she and a couple of her kids.
Good morning, everybody. So at this church, we believe that the power of God, the same power of God that is inside of Jesus followers who are adults, reside in our little ones who accept Jesus as their Savior. So there's no junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit is working and active and living in these kiddos. And so we have children here who have led small groups, who are leading each other in kids' church, who worship with their whole hearts on Sundays and during the rest of the week too. So I've asked 3 kids to come up and share with you guys today what this church means to them. So I'm going to start with Cece Mayo. Why don't you give her a hand? And why don't Kaden come on up too?
I like SSV because it's all about God. I like worship and that we get to play games and ask questions in kids' church. Miss Nikki helps us learn about God.
What I like about SSV is that it's part of a huge group of churches called the Vineyard, and we all get to be a part of it. I like it because it's not just one church by itself, so we have other churches to help us be a better church. Mr. Jordan and Ms. Nikki and Ms. Nunez help me learn and be a better person in kids' church.
Thank you guys. Have a seat. Okay. And next we have Yanni Irvine. So why don't we welcome her?
Good morning. My name is Senora Irvin, and I have been attending Children's Church for the last 4 years. I feel blessed to have Miss Nikki and Mr. Jordan and all the great teachers help me connect with God through fun activities and great conversations. I've learned a lot. I feel my connection with God is growing every day. A few weeks ago, I was in church, and the worship team sang the song Yahweh. Something came over me. I just started crying. I couldn't understand what I was feeling. My mom told me that the Holy Spirit came to me. From that day, I have been reading the Book of Devotions for Girls every night before I go to bed. I also listen to the Bible on my phone. I have a goal to finishing the Bible in 1 year. I don't feel right if I go a day without listening, reading, or listening to God's Word. Reading helps me get closer to God. I look forward to Children's Church every Sunday. Thank you.
Kids pastors, another hand. So we'll keep this thing moving. We have Ben and Laura Bell. Where are you guys at? Make your way down here. Give it up for Ben and Laura Bell as they come and share with us.
Good morning, Vineyard Church. Wow, so we're Ben and Laura Bell. We have Ben Jr., Stan, and Robert. Oh, they're in the bathroom, except for Benji. So how do we come to Vineyard Church? It's kind of interesting. We were at another church, and Pastor Gino would come, and he would teach. And if you know how Pastor Gino teaches, he'll look right at you. But the message was for us. Every single time, he was speaking directly to us. It's like, okay, cool. He's gifted, you know. God got him. God knows, you know, use this guy right here. So we start going through things in our lives, dealing with the loss of one of our sons. And it just grew and grew and grew, but we were good church people, devoted church people. We're on the praise team. We're security team. We're in the nursery, we're greeting, we're everything we can be, usher, we're everything we can be at church, but in the inside, we were missing something. So one Sunday, Shannon came with her boys, and I think you're out of town or something, but they came and visited. And I was like, you know what? We've never visited Vineyard. So we came that next Sunday to visit. Then we came for kickball. Next thing you know, there was a pig roast. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, what, 6 months later, we're here. Praise and worship is great. God is great. Yeah.
Just like that.
And here's Laura Bell.
I just want to say what I love about Vineyard is the love I felt when we came. Like we said, we have three boys right now, and Ben Jr. is autistic. And I love how the youth leaders, or youth team, I don't know what to call it, actually takes the time to understand him. Usually he's just pushed to the side or a pacifier just to get him out the way to get through Sunday. And they actually, I had one of the leaders ask me, you know, what do you do in these situations? And it's like, really? So it's like, you really, and he's excited to be in church and learning. So, and also with my youngest boy, he's, Mom, we learned this today. And usually it's like, okay, when we were at the church, it was, what did you learn? He's like, oh, well, we played games, freeze tag. I was like, well, what did you learn about God? Oh, nothing. We played games and the teachers were singing. I was like, okay. So I like the community and family atmosphere, because I'm a very lovable person. And like Ben said, the worship is awesome. I'm a big crybaby, so if you see me crying, when I feel it, it's... And I don't know what else to say.
I got one more thing. We came through those doors, and the one thing I can say is love. You feel love when you come in here. You don't feel alone. You don't feel by yourself. You're wrapped in love. And like I was like, man, these people are crazy. Seriously, I'm like, is this a cult? Because if I hear community one more time, I'm going to run. But I didn't know what community meant. I didn't know that being a part of a community is being a part of a family, being wrapped in a love that you really can't explain, but you need it. That's what Vineyard's about. You know, we're a family. We got each other's backs. We're there for each other. I think that's what keeps me coming back. I know there's going to be always something else, but to be here with family. And I'm from a large family, like really large. Not just in size and stature, but, you know, there's a lot of us. Like, I'm like, my brother's like 6'8", so, you know. But the love that pulls everyone in. Going to someone's house to eat chili. Watch the game. That is family. And that's here. That's SSV. So, thank you guys. Thank you.
So in case you're wondering, we're not in the habit of picking up other people from other churches. We have a fantastic relationship with the churches in this community. We regularly tell people, hey, if this church isn't a fit for you, we will get on the phone and call, as we've done before, and say, hey, this guy, he loves the preaching. He's not feeling the worship. He's not coming. Hey, I sent him to you. And the same thing happens. And when they were coming over, their pastor called me and said, hey, I'm sending you to. That's the kind of communion we have here in this community. So we're glad to have the Bells with us. I'm going to invite my sister Allison Middleman to come. So would you give her a warm Vineyard welcome as she comes?
Allison Middleman, as Pastor Gino introduced me, and I think it'll be up on the screen, but my husband John is over there. You've probably seen us chasing around our three little ones. We have Lydia, who just turned 4 last week, Eden, who's 2.5, and Josiah, our mega baby, as I lovingly call him, at 8 months. I am a social worker by trade. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. However, about 2 years ago, I transitioned from working full-time outside of the home to working full-time inside of the home, so I'm a stay-at-home mom. With that said, we've had a few sleepless nights with a teething baby, so I'm not going to pretend like I can ad-lib up here, and I'm going to go ahead and read what I have written. When Gino asked me to share what the SSV means to me, my first thought was free Sunday morning childcare. Just kidding. Although we do love Kids Church and the impact it is having on our little tribe, that's for sure. Actually, when I think about what the SSV means to me, many things come to mind. It was in January 2017 when John and I decided to start looking for a church home that would be closer to where we lived. I told John that if we were going to be church shopping, then there were two non-negotiables for me. Number one being racial cultural diversity, and number two being missional community engagement. Those two things were especially important to me because at that particular time, in January 2017, we were just coming off of some pretty contentious political processes. And I had really begun to question some things about the dominant culture in the white evangelical church. I felt strongly that we, as a family, needed to be intentional in finding ways to resist that narrative. I believe we have found that here. I think part of that can be attributed to the SSV's affinity for kingdom theology, which I really like. Faith isn't compartmentalized or hyper-spiritualized here. What I mean is, the gospel isn't understood to just mean rescuing souls. It's much more holistic than that. It's about the restoration of all things. Here at the SSV, we are continually challenged to lean into the wholeness of the kingdom, loving God and loving people with our whole selves. We set aside our preferences in order to work towards justice, peace, and reconciliation inside and outside these walls. We still have work to do, indeed, we always will, but we're leaning in, and that's beautiful. That's the kingdom right here. In addition to all of that, I love how the SSV is stretching me in regards to the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a pretty insular community. Virtually everyone who attended my church denomination also attended the Christian schools affiliated with that same denomination. We also shared the same ethnic heritage as well. While this afforded some really advantageous protective factors to my upbringing, it didn't expose me to much diversity of thought. And like all faith traditions practiced in isolation, mine was lacking some things. I'm learning that one of those things is our approach to the Holy Spirit. Our approach, or at least the way I internalized it, was always very intellectual and not very relational. Here at the SSV, I'm learning what it means to know the Holy Spirit, not just know about the Holy Spirit. I'm moving beyond a faith that is anchored in the shallows of my intellect toward a faith that plunges into the depths of spirit. And I have the SSV to thank for offering me new ways of thinking about and experiencing that reality. Specifically, I want to thank our pastors, Gino, Shannon, David, Jordan, Nikki, for vision casting kingdom realities and shepherding us from the pulpit and beyond. And so many others who have modeled for us what it means to love God and love people. We've watched you up close and from afar. Ramon and Yvette, Mark and Shantae, Mandy, Jenny, Alicia, Denise, India. There's so many names I could name. I could really list so many more. But in reality, we're just grateful to be able to continue on this journey with all of you towards kingdom wholeness. So thank you to everyone.
Well, we got one more, and so I'm going to welcome up Miss Keely Holloway. So, Keely, where are you? Come on up. Give her a hand as she comes.
God bless everybody. I'm Keely Holloway. I'm actually a newbie at the church, so I'm one of the newest members. Not just me, but my mother and my cousin joined at the same time as well. I brought my family with me. I even got my best friend in the audience. My husband came today. Anyway, I'm just overjoyed right now. So I'm just feeling blessed here. So let me tell you about myself real quick. I am a preacher's kid. So grew up, born and raised in the church. Pastor's father actually knew my father. So that's how I came to know about this church. So I'm going to try not to get emotional in here. Okay. My father passed away recently. So my church that I was born and raised in stopped. So me and my mother have been searching for churches in the area. See, Jesus. Okay. When I came here, I felt welcomed. I spoke to you specifically because I know you guys. I know your faces. So, but you were so cool, I'm going to say. You knew that we were, you know, I explained to you that I was looking around for churches. You even gave me options to other churches to look at. So you're like, if you don't like this church, we're going to tell you some churches in the area, which is unique because nobody's doing that. Usually they just want to grab you in. But when I came here and I brought all my children. I have four children. I have a college daughter and my youngest is like seven. But when we came here, it's funny how my children speak to me. My college daughter told me, yeah, this is the church we're going to be going to. Before I even actually started attending this church.
But honestly, it's the love, it's the faces, it's the smiles, it's the realness, I'm going to say, that spoke to me. The Holy Spirit is here, so that's definitely a key thing. I'm always going to be saved. That's just how I am. But I'm just feeling like overjoyed to come here. It's not a task to come to this church. And I don't have to dress up to come to this church, which for four children, it's hard sometimes just to get here on time. But it's just, you're not about the flashy. It's about God and everything here. I don't know if I said everything on my list, but why I'm going to continue to go here is just because of the atmosphere. I'm looking at faces. I'm looking at smiles. I feel welcomed, and that's definitely unique as well. I could not be a part of a church where I'm here and I'm just leaving. No, I want to feel like I want to talk to you. I want to know your church. I want to know the people. I'm a relational. And there's other faces here. I am my mother's Mexican, my father's Black. My family is, I have blue-eyed, blonde-hair family. I need to see what I'm used to. I need to see everybody praising God together. That's just how we're supposed to be, I feel. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of, I don't know what else to say. But I just love this church. I really do. I'm excited. I can't wait to be a part of more things because that's just how I am. I like helping. I like doing things. So I just feel like I can jump in and be welcomed here. So thank you.
Keely, we will sign you up for all the ministries, yeah. Starting with Kids Church. Now, I hope you guys got a chance to hear and appreciate some of the stories, and that's just really the tip of the iceberg. And worship team, you can come up as we transition to worship. But what you noticed, and it wasn't coincidental, in each of those stories is that they name specific people, right? Not just us, pastors, but they name specific people. And I specifically ask people when they tell their stories, I want you to name names. Because I've been saying for many years that if we are on mission, if we've grabbed hold of good news, if we are being transformed, we have a story to tell. And if we're telling that story right, there are names that come up in those stories. For example, I couldn't tell my story right in a comprehensive way without certain names coming up because those people have been so instrumental in my story, right? That is to say, I'm not standing on this stage without at least a dozen names being obedient to the call of God that God put on their life concerning me, right? And so my question to you is, how often does your name come up in somebody else's testimony? Now, this isn't just gratuitous, like, you know, go do some good deeds so people can remember you. But as a people who are called to be on mission, because we're not just, this isn't just a Christian club for the affiliated, right? We're not just holy rollers. We are people on mission. We really believe that God sent us to this community for a very specific reason, and that is to snatch people from the grips of hell, share with them the good news and how our story intersects with that and do it over and over and over again. And so I'm asking you to be mindful, how often would your name come up and how many people would utter your name as they told the story of how God has drawn them closer? Now, some of you might say, man, probably nobody. You shouldn't feel condemned by that, but that's just a call to what? To get to work, to lean in. We all are friends, for better or worse, good news people. We've been so blessed by a generous God, and this is just the beginning. Man, I look out on this sea of faces, man, and I'm just overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed that God would see fit to call a kid from the south side of Chicago who never imagined this in my future to steward the lives and the trajectory of this great church. And so with that, I could talk forever. I won't. But with those stories that warmed our heart, let's enter into a time of worship as we consider the goodness of the Lord.